Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host Robert, and I survived. Sorry to all my haters about that. And with me, I have
Wheel of Morality. Turn. Tell us to. Oh, fuck it. Who cares? Just go nuts. I've got my remotes all over the place. Nothing's in order right now.
And
you know, I could mention a meme about that one TikTok cat that's going around chasing other cats. I could, but
We got hit with some really just sudden, unfortunate news out of the blue.
Yeah, the unfortunate passing of the scene Ryan, aka Carl. And as I got from this from Twitter, we are broken to announce the passing of Kasim Ryan, the rapper and producer known as Carl, who died unexpectedly in New York City on October 12th at the age of 52. Born and raised in Brownsville, Brooklyn, Carl lived a life of service to his city, to his community, and to his music. As a 20-year veteran of the New York City Fire Department, he put his life on the line to protect his fellow citizens. Carl rose to the rank of FDNY captain and was responded on September 11th during the World Trade Center attacks. He leaves an extraordinary legacy as a recording artist, including 11 remarkable self-released solo albums. Carl was survived by his wife, his mother, and sister. He kindly asks that the property of Carl's family and loved ones be respected as they create this incalculable loss.
Yeah, this was like just really sudden, and that last album wasn't too long ago either. Holy shit.
Yeah, like, I just talked about this album when the last roundup. Lose somebody who's just a fucking talented rapper on the mic, on the pen game. Like, he old, like, every time you hear his album, you know you're in for something, man. Man, it's, I mean, I'm from the same way how I found out how, it's the same way for how when MF Doom died, or when we found out about his death. It's like, it just came out of the blue.
Yeah, that was, Jesus, what an announcement. Fuck.
Well, that one I gotta say is, rest in peace, Carl. You were an excellent rapper, and even though I know much more about the father, but what you could have done too. But yeah, we lost somebody special.
We truly did. Anyway, with that bum note out of the way, here we are, episode 368. Has everyone's week been going okay otherwise?
Relatively fine on my end. Not a whole lot I really did, except for stuff on the weekend. I went and saw the new My Hero Academia movie. It was the slump continues, I'm sad to say.
Oh dear.
Yeah, like I feel bad saying it. Like, I don't want to come across as like being mean or anything, but this was not it. There's nothing new going on here. It's just more of the same. Cool. I was not very invested in it or excited by it. It was just, meh. Cool, I guess. Also, that could be because I saw a look back like less than a week prior, but still.
Yeah, I think I get
it. Easily the weakest of the four movies, which unfortunate, considering the show's going to end next year, but so be it, I suppose.
Yeah, that might be. I ain't seen the third one yet, and I own the third one on
Blu-ray. Yeah, that was the weakest one before this one, where it got even weaker. But like, I will gladly take like a road trip buddy movie over fake All Might doing fake All Might stuff. There was just nothing in it.
Man, I still kind of want to see that last movie just because I know Ryan Colt Levy's in it.
Yes, you should watch World Heroes Mission. It's very good, especially in comparison now. Good lord.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe that last season will, pick things up.
Don't butcher the ending. Maybe spice it up a little bit. Just saying.
I mean, I like the original ending of the manga just fine. Man, that still feels weird to say that the manga's... I just think, like, obviously with a lot of the weird scheduling hiccups because of Horikoshi's health conditions, maybe that's something that they can, I don't know, tighten up in the animation process. Just saying. Being a weekly manga author is hell.
Yeah, from what I heard.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, my week has been... Man, my week has been alright. I will say I saw a movie. By that I mean I watched some on Netflix because I'm lazy to go to the theaters because of money and shit. Anyway, what finally hit Netflix is Bad Boys 4. I finally saw Bad Boys 4. And I'm going to say, yeah, it's about as good as it was meant to be. And I want to mention this one scene, at least maybe to Rob. I don't know if he cares, if I talked about it. Anybody care if I talked about it? About one scene?
Go ahead. I'm not going to remember it in 5 minutes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Fucking Reggie.
Fucking Reggie!
Oh, yeah.
Man, he has come up. Like,
glow up, baby.
Oh, like, even being that nervous teenager to this badass motherfucker that took down a whole lot of people. Somebody was respecting me. Yeah, you gotta put some respect on his name. And now, this might sound crazy. It is. I wonder what happened if I make a solo Reggie movie. I mean, it sounds goofy, but I'm like, I wonder how Reggie would become this way, or do I want to know? It's like...
Perhaps it's better to not know.
Look, all I'm saying is, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence can't keep making these movies forever.
Yeah. It's like, in the 50s, and Martin... I mean, we all heard about, like, Martin Lawrence's health, being sort of... like I say, it's a good movie, and also I also want to see the directors they're saying fuck you to Warner Brothers, because remember those are the guys that Reggie was supposed to do what's that fucking movie Batgirl, I think.
Yeah,
they're the ones that maybe you shouldn't have cut a job. See what we did? Look at this shit. We did this shit on a budget that's not even that huge. I mean it's like a minimal $100 million, but it's like, I mean, it's not like $200 million, like it's like. But still, it's like if they do make Bad Boys, I'd be like, wait, what are they gonna do this time now?
Yeah, don't worry about Warner though; they can rely on Joker fully. Oh my god!
Yeah. That's it. Joker got beaten by another clown, apparently.
People like violent shit.
Yeah.
And not the movie violent shit, actual violent shit.
I still need to watch those movies.
I would not recommend, either.
I think, what do you hear about those movies that the main guy is a voice working anime, which I saw on a Twitter account. I forgot, but it's like, oh, he does some voice work on it. Okay.
Huh. Now you have me curious. I mean,
I think the dude's name is David Howard Thornton or something.
Let's see. Who played him? Come on, come on. portrayed by David Howard Thornton. There we go.
Yeah, he was in Misokusai. He did some additional voices in that thing.
So, ah, you know, not much, but, like, obviously, hey, it's something.
Yeah.
Also, he had a role in the greatest video game ever made, Ride to Hell Retribution.
Oh!
Oh, God!
We all have to start somewhere.
Hey, someone get Scott the Walls on the line.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
You know, unrelated, but I was scrolling through TikTok and I saw a pretty funny video from a convention where it was him, you know, in the full Terrifier getup, and he was hanging out with the voice actor that played Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! I saw that too.
Yeah, good to know that guy's still around.
Yeah.
But anyway, as for me, again, the fact that I am recording this, you can obviously tell I lived. Yeah, so the worst that it got was that it was, like, really windy. Like, windy enough that it made me anxious when I wound up having get... I stayed behind an hour after work because I had, like, just a lot of shit on my plate, unfortunately, at, like, the most annoying possible time. You see the wind outside, it makes you fucking anxious. But then, if I can get home and I can just, you know, chill, relax, maybe take a shot or two. And the wind was bad enough that the power knocked out in the middle of the night, and I'm, like, 95% confident that it knocked out twice. Because, like, I felt the lack of air conditioning, then the power came back at some point, then somewhere else in the middle of the night, lack of air conditioning. It's really fucking annoying. Even more so because the power apparently went out again in the middle of the day while I was out at work, and it's like, Jesus, what the hell is it? We were literally just on, like, the outskirts of Milton and everything, just, eh. Wind is weird, but that's neither here nor there. We are obviously still alive.
Yeah. So in other words, I can't say outrun the wind or outwind the wind. I don't know. There's a Happening reference. I don't know. It didn't work.
Just like the script for The Happening. Ayo!
What? No!
Oh, Lord, I am never watching that movie. Anyway, yeah, that about does it on my end. Everything was alright, I guess. Now to move on to the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that jazz. So, let's start off Friday at the top with some Little Dragon related news. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yes. Some Little Dragon news. More like, one member do some solo shit, and that member being Yukimi, you know, the singer, the lead singer of Little Dragon. So apparently she has a little solo thing come up called Break Me Down. And I want to say, I mean, I like it. I mean, like, the song sounds fine. Like, it's had that bit of interesting pop, or whatever. Well, not simpy, but more like, I want to say it's, I mean, it's not as different as this as song from Little Dragon. I mean, when I hear this, I keep thinking, okay, it's a Little Dragon song, but I know it's a Yukimi song, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, it has one member of it, that being Eric Bowden, like doing some work on the production, drums, bass and keys. So, I mean, so I could say, like, yeah, it sounds like a Little Dragon song. I mean, I still like it. I still think, you know, songs well. So, like, Yukimi has the unique voice. The lyrics are, they're not that complex, but it's all still good. This would be interesting, you know, Holly, if she ever does some of a solo album, I wonder how that will be. So yeah.
Cool. Not much to add. I don't know, maybe she had some stuff she was sitting on, but like the other members of the group were busy or something. But it's alright, I dig it. Alright, now moving on to the next track here. So, something that's been on my mind and the general mind of the collective internet these days is Nickelodeon nostalgia. Then again, when isn't that on the brain of the internet? But specifically yeah. In the realm of like their live-action sitcom output. Of course, mainly owing, at least from my perspective, to the gargantuan video undertakings of professional Garfield historian Quentin Reviews. And one subject in particular that's kind of been on my mind is the network's myriad attempts to launch music careers into the mainstream, and the paths that, you know, their members have taken all over the place. Of course, probably the biggest example being the era of Victorious and how Ariana Grande became, like, the big breakout star, even though that wasn't really the intention of the show, but that's neither here nor there. There were, of course, at least two other distinctive offerings from the network in that regard, at least in terms of, like, showrunners and show universes and all that. Of course, a lot of people my age, aside from Victorious, probably also remember the show Big Time Rush, the boy band slash sitcom from the creator of Ned's Declassified, and also Johnny Test, but I'm not going to hold that against him too much. But there was also, way before either of those shows, buried deep within the recesses of your mind, if you're my age. By the way, I just want to point this out. You know, Big Time Rush got back together and put out a new album last fucking year?
Apparently so. I am unfortunately aware, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, so getting back to the topic, the one other, like, Nickelodeon music thing that's probably, like, buried somewhere in the recess of your mind, does anybody remember a show called The Naked Brothers Band?
Yeah, I do.
Also, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, I couldn't tell you a damn thing about that show. I'm pretty sure I watched a bit of it, at least, because, like, this was, again, mid-2000s. This is when I was starting middle school and all. But, again, I couldn't really tell you much of it. So, color me surprised when I found out that they're apparently still a thing. Why are they still a thing? Why am I bringing them up here? Well, here's a better question. Why the hell are they touring opening for Billie fucking Eilish? And no, that's not a typo. The least memorable Nickelodeon sitcom music act is opening for one of the biggest pop stars of the 2020s.
Yeah, and it keeps you wondering what those names are. They're Nat and Alex Wolf. And I don't know why I keep thinking, where I heard that name before? I heard Nat Wolf before. Hold up. I keep thinking, wasn't he in some shitty Netflix thing?
I don't think so. Unless we're getting him mixed up with the one kid from Stranger Things, who just also happens to have Wolf in his name.
Mm.
But that's not... Go ahead.
Never mind. Because I keep thinking, like, I think he just has that face. I just think I was like, I want to say he was in that very shitty Death Note live action remake. If I can recall...
Okay, which brother are we talking about? Because I'm looking up their names right now.
I want to say Nat Wolf.
Nat Wolf. Let's see. I have his name pulled up. He was in... let me see if I can find it. Yeah. He was Light Turner in that great Death Note movie.
Wait, hold the fuck up. Really?
Yep.
Yeah. And just as a point of comparison, his brother Alex Wolf... was Luis Walter Alvarez in Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer.
Oh, wow. So
that's two former Nickelodeon guys who are in Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, shit, that's right. I forgot Josh was in that, too.
Holy shit, we're discovering things today.
The voice for Steve Smith, he was, I think he was in that movie, too.
Holy shit. Okay, let's get back on topic. We're going too deep down the rabbit hole. So, like I said, Nat and Alex Wolf touring with Billie Eilish, so I guess it shouldn't be that surprising that they put out a new song where Billie Eilish is doing some backing vocals. The song is called Soft Kissing Hour, And as you can imagine, it is a very light, romantic, acoustic ballad about kissing someone and all that shit. since Billie's on the backing vocals, we can only assume she's thinking about Charlie XCX the whole time. But as for the song itself, it's one of the songs of all time. I mean, it's pretty much exactly what you could expect. Like, it sounds fine for this kind of thing, but we are talking about the dreaded white guy with acoustic guitar song. So, yeah.
I mean, all I can say is, it sounds nice. That's it.
Yeah, my left ear sure enjoyed this. My right ear didn't hear a damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I enjoyed freaking out thinking my headphones were broken listening to this.
Oh, so you found the same upload I did.
Yeah, and, somebody needs to fix that. Also, yes, this sure is acoustic coffeehouse pop music, all right.
Yeah, so just for the sake of clarity, I did actually find an upload with the audio in both ears, and that's what's going to be in the playlist, because I'm not going to screw y'all like that. Anyway, moving on to the next track here, Bruiser Brigade! Bruiser Brigade! But also, I put my dick in a bag of Doritos.
Best of both worlds up in here.
Oh yeah, as a team of people, we went for Bruiser Wolf and Zach Fox. Because, I mean, Bruiser Wolf and Zach Fox, I'm trying together. Called a mountain lion. This by somebody named Connie. That's the name. It's Connie. I don't know who they are. And we get the perfect from Zach when he goes to heaven. As a young guy, I was downtrodden. Now hopper jump like a brown and get the kind of water. Cows and wildlife, all types of fauna. And in lines like, keep in mind, coming close on my hip is not an ornament. My deeper aura is off the space. 20 kids is not a dad fit. The Glock fat as fuck like DJ Khaled. What up, your childhood boy? I'm accurate. Like I said, I beg you to a black. Okay. We got some funny lines going here. Like, this was funny. Like, she's hysterical. And it's got Boozer Wolf who's. We do some good lines as well. We do some lines as well, like perfectly when that's in your voice. That's in the voice he got. He said, "It's do or die, pimps." For me, I mean, about my special catnip. So Craven, I call it. The voice captain's nigga is on a rich chest kiss. At the receipt, they can't resist, and I can't do this voice that well. Damn. This about that voice. The voice that says this is magic. Like it's just a hilarious track.
Yeah, honestly, full collab album maybe. We can only hope.
It could work. All right.
But anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh yeah, I don't think we've talked about Earth Gang in a hot minute. I know they've been doing like. They've had, like, a series of, like, EPs and stuff they've been dropping here and there, but, like, yeah, what's been going on with them recently?
Yeah. Okay, well, apparently they got an album coming out, at the end of this month, Perfect Fantasy. And they got a single featuring the one and only, T-Pain. Oh. And the single's called Love You More. Okay. The track sounds. It sounds really nice. I was a lot of Earth Gang. I mean, I know I probably should at this point, but T-Pain's part's kind of good. T-Pain's part's kind of good. Like. T-Pain singing has always been good, even with, like, I think that's probably, we should know that T-Pain is a bona fide singer with or without the auto-tune. Just just clarify. And I say, like, the song, like, okay, maybe not what you should hear, but I think it's kind of all right.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Kind of dig the vibe here. Pretty nice on the ears. But yeah, always good to hear T-Pain. I'm a really big fan of your $5 Checkers combo meal. Yeah, that's the thing. Did you all know that?
I didn't know that. But then again, I don't have a check. Rallies. We ain't got any more. Yeah, we ain't got them anymore for some reason.
Yeah, they're also very hard to find here, so unaware.
I mean, they're pretty conveniently located pretty much wherever I've always been. But I gotta tell you, there's something really funny about, like, I always notice Checkers, and then you wind up moving in with someone from a territory where it's always called Rallies, and you actually have to explain that to them, like, you know they're the same thing, right? Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, that was me with the whole Carl's Jr. West Coast, Hard East, East Coast thing.
Oh, yeah, which, by the way, that's another restaurant. There's another place that we used to have, but ain't there anymore. Like, damn.
Yeah. Personally, I don't eat there at all, mostly because the one Hard East we have here in my city had a hepatitis outbreak a couple years ago, so never again.
In the fucking heart. Who's fucking in the Hardee's?
I don't know. There's a lot of weird shit that goes on in my city.
Oh, Lord.
There's the levity we were looking for.
Anyway, let's move on to the next track here. So, speaking of people I don't think we've talked about in a hot minute, looks like we got a new track from Absol here. I don't really get the title, though. Can someone explain it to me?
Okay, damn it, I keep working today. I don't really get it either.
I think it's supposed to be a reference to something.
I'm more genius than I am, I'm not sure about it, but anyway, as my song itself, it's kind of fire. I kind of like it. Yeah, I kind of like it. Like, I got the beat, okay, if you know about Absol, is like, Absol is definitely like a lyricist, like, or at least like a, like, you gotta think of wordplay and shit, you know, wordplay with shit, like, you, maybe like a couple of shit, like Minnesota Warming, they want a war, but they actually forfeit. Thinking they fire, but they easily mouse. The score, you're just a tourist. You ain't really wild. And because of the hook, yeah, thou should not fuck with raw meat. Oh, he pays 1,000 deaths for Mr. Herbert Anthony, which, oh yeah, that's right. That is his real name. Herbert. Yeah.
He definitely brought his A game here. Also, I just clicked the link I had in the document. According to the body of the piece, the writer here... Tom Bryan! He writes, I assume Absol's new single, Squeeze First 2, is his spin on Jay-Z's Rock La Familia track, Squeeze First, even though the two songs sound nothing alike. Huh. Anyway, but yeah, you know, solid track. And honestly, this kind of makes me want a quesadilla with Pico de Gallo.
Yeah.
And thank you for saying it correctly, sir. Unlike some people I know, I have still not recovered from Mexican week on the Great British Baking Show. I swear to God.
Oh, Gallo, you uncultured swine.
You. Who the hell? Like, oh, great. And now you talk about considering thanks to Uncle Roger and another clip. Like, who calls it Pico de Gallo? Like, all these motherfuckers, he say shit like, you know, like a, like somebody to call something like a guacamole or
guacamole.
Like guacamole. It's like a fucking anime character. Guacamole.
Yeah, I can hear it now. Like, I went to this amazing Tex-Mex restaurant. The Pico de Gallo was off the chain.
Oh god, that sounds so white, god.
Yeah.
God, that's whiter than complimenting Susan on her delish quinoa.
Can't wait for Casual Friday. Kisses, toodles.
Live, laugh, Limp Bizkit. What are we even talking about at this point? What the fuck?
Okay,
we're trying to pad for time so that we don't have to talk about Jermaine again.
Oh God, right. I was gonna ask. Speaking of damn, white people, who ordered the coleslaw?
Oh, that's right, Mr. Jermaine Cole. So yeah, he's back because I don't know because he needs something. So anyway, it ain't Mr. Coleslaw. Mr. Coleslaw needs to track title Port Antonio. And good thing got genius here. The first from Coles come up, blah blah blah, all that bullshit, and I'm gonna say tuning himself and all that bullshit, like maintaining balance, maintaining ambition and balance. And of course, the second verse, I mean, after that, of course, he just says, the drink is the more beef, and it's part of it.
Oh god, dude, let it go already, you fuck.
Someone's gonna like, they see a pick of sass, the lie to me, my nigga, to start another war, and someone say, hey, Drake, always be my nigga, I'm not here to say you did a lot for me, my nigga. Like, you do realize that part of the beat, you just say, I'm out, fuck it, I'm gone. I mean, it's a smart thing you backed out, I can say that, but it'll make you the better man, to be honest. It just means you did some stupid shit. You know, so you know what's gonna happen when it comes to you. It's like, and you know what? I give up. That's the thing. Like, I hate when people. What's the better thing is how people say like, of course, the better man. He wasn't, and he kind of wasn't. He just got lucky, to be honest. And I will say. Okay. We'll say on the right side of the beat, like, okay. It sounds like a song called "Know That You Are Love," which that beat, it sounds so familiar. It's not the same sound that Mary J. Blige used on the song, because I recognize the same kind of like do 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 na 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 na. Like, I recognize that shit from somewhere. It sounds a song called "Know That You Are Loved" by Cleo Soul. And I gotta say, that's a nice sample. I can say that, but yeah, it's like you're really saying a whole lot of. I will say nothing, but it ain't really much. It's like, okay, you get it, but alright.
Yeah, just, I don't know, the way he's like, oh no, I was making a smart move backing out of, well, okay, technically it was a smart move, like, backing out before he could escalate it too far, but he's like, oh, I saw they were going to a dark place, and I didn't want to get caught up in drama for the sake of social media approval. Me and Drake are still homies. And yet, weirdly enough, that's not even the most, like, cringy part of the song. I'm Bono, I'm you times two, get the fuck out! And don't even get me started on Benjamin Button Cole. Can we not talk about this Cole anymore? Can we just, like, get more Lewis Cole or something? That's a Cole I can get behind.
We need a better representative for North Carolina.
Yeah.
I miss Petey Pablo.
Yeah, because the people you got from North Carolina now...
Come back to us, sir. We need you.
Yeah, because North Carolina rep has been going down. It's been going down since, like... It's like Jay Coast, the man. He had the baby, then, well, you see where he went. And who else is there? I forget. Yeah, that's the list.
We don't have a lot of representatives here in North Carolina. We have like a bunch of SoundCloud rappers that hang out at like South End, but that's about it. Okay. Come back, PD Pablo, we miss you.
PD Pablo.
I wanna race up again.
Oh Lord, look at Alex, he's getting all emotional. This is bordering on I'm Hootie.
Don't worry, I'm saving the emotion for later.
Oh, right, we still got a bit more to go. So, yeah. Anyway, let's swerve into something that's pretty damn good. We got more Flying Lotus.
Oh, yes.
Another song. There's definitely got to be an album at some point. Do you think? What are we thinking? Like, is it going to be a 2025 thing? Is it going to be right before 2024 ends? What are our bets? What are we feeling at the moment?
Yes.
Fair enough. Anyway, so the song here is called Ingo Swan, and in yet another swerve from what we expect from the usual Lotus vibe, first he was doing his own vocals on the song, and now we get kind of a pretty straightforward house jam. Like, it's pretty dancey and straightforward to a T. Granted, like, some of the synths and stuff have kind of, like, the weird spacey vibes in the production that you expect from Fly Low material, but otherwise... It's pretty grounded, and you just gotta sit and groove to it. I kind of dig this in its own way. Again, I'm curious what the bigger picture is for whatever's cooking in the pipe, you know?
This is very dance heavy, which okay, which I can vibe with, apparently like the week of release. He's celebrating his 41st birthday. Hey, happy birthday! He's a lot to. He's a Libra baby like me. Or a tall baby like me, and also celebrating the 10th anniversary of his album, You're Dead. Which also nice. It's been 10 years since that album came out. Damn. I've been hearing a lot of things Flying Lotus lately. At least some of a lot of like either this track. The fact that I watched that new Demi episode where they talked about VHS 99, which talked about his segment, the Ozzy's Dungeon, which reminds me, oh, it has that dude from Grand Theft Auto 5 on it. Which
fuck me, I need to watch that movie.
Yeah, me too. At least check out some of the VHS. Maybe that one. I don't know about all of these. I heard either good to mixed things about most of them. Especially if you say Viral, I heard that one was bad.
I don't know. Viral had its moments. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. Once again, we have The Cure on deck. Once again, as a reminder, their first new album in like 16 years, Songs of a Lost World, coming out at the beginning of November. Literally November 1st. We have this new single here called A Fragile Thing. And it's got a bit more immediacy in comparison to Alone. Like, it doesn't really make you wait for the song itself to get started. The band kind of just comes in right at the jump, delivering this whole steady groove of drums and bass, those very kind of atmospheric guitar leads, and the super melancholic keyboard in the background. The lyrics are, of course, very appropriately moody. If you haven't pieced it together by now, the fragile thing in question is, you know, a romance that's very much on the rocks and heading towards an inevitable downfall. Robert Smith, you good? You got something you want to talk about, buddy? But maybe it's not my business to be his therapist, but either way, I mean, it's The Cure in 2024. So that's pretty all right.
Yep. Mid-tempo piano and bass ballad, simple in concept, fantastic in execution. It's got a very somber tone to it. It just feels
Well, to me, it feels good on the ears because I like this kind of stuff. Other people, they may not take the joy in it, but for me, I'm all about this stuff.
Cool. And speaking of stuff that Alex is all about...
Okay, I will take it from here. Folks, as my colleague Andrew would say, let's fucking go!
Holy shit, that didn't even have the soundboard on it. Fuck.
Okay.
Nope, that was all natural. Okay, so we, and me especially, have been waiting for this for a good while, and we finally got the details. February 7th, the 16th album from progressive metal Titans Dream Theater, Parasomnia, will be out. 8 tracks of prog metal nightmare exploration with, yes, the man and myth and legend, Mike Portnoy, back on the drums. And folks, we thank Mike Mangini for his years of service and creativity. But this is like Michael Jordan coming back to the Bulls in 1996. It just hits a little bit harder seeing Mike Portnoy playing on that double drum kit setup of his. And here on the first track revealed, Night Terror. A 10-minute declaration of, we are so fucking back, motherfuckers! So much so that on the Century Media and Inside Out stores, every single release pre-order is completely sold out.
I'm shocked. Shocked!
Yeah.
Well, not that shocked.
Yeah, though I got my order on Amazon, yay for me. And as for the track... it's like we're picking up right where we left off on Black Clouds and Silver Linings back in 2009. It's heavy and adventurous and foreboding, and it has the one thing that's been missing from Dream Theater for a good long while. Groove. And all those Portnoyville, something like that, two things. Everything and everyone on here sounds amazing. Full credit to their in-house studio engineer, Jimmy T, and Andy Sneap handling the mixing. There's a lot of punch and clarity here. Like, James LaBrie sounds great, as he tends to do in the studio anyway, and, unless I'm mistaken, so do John Petrucci and Mike Portnoy doing backing vocals for the first time since Black Clouds, which is just a wonderful addition here. And watching this video, as I have about 10 times so far since it dropped, I just have a big old smile on my face watching this. We aren't just back. We are so fucking back! And I cannot wait for this album to drop. I got my order in. I am ready. And apparently so is everyone else.
Okay, it's cool. Is Hurricane Alex over?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. First of all, drink some fucking water.
I got some right here. I'm good.
All right. Second of all. So, Dream Theater songs, as we know at this point, come in several different kinds of flavors. And... this is the kind of song that I'd say is all the flavors at once. It's a pretty all-around, like, well-balanced Dream Theater kind of song. You have, you know, stuff like the super proggy technical aspects, a lot of the really heavy banger stuff. Of course, whenever James LaBrie is on, you get... That kind of covers in the more, like, prog ballad territory. Especially, like, the first half. You hear, like, a good mix of everything in that first half, especially, again, James LaBrie sounding pretty fantastic. And then once you get into the back half, you have, like, more of the proggier technical side coming. I especially really like how, like, that the way that, like, you hear, like, the main riff throughout the first half and how the rhythm of it just feels like it completely switches up the moment that Mike Portnoy switches his rhythm. And then, of course, you know, it's from there, it's, like, solo central from fucking Jordan Rudess and John Petrucci. It is, again, as the internet would say... hello, we're back, department. I would like to file a claim.
Yeah, pretty much all that and then some. Just seeing reactions from people saying that this is the most excited they've been for an album from there since, like, Train of Thought, which was 21 years ago.
That should tell you the level of excitement we're going to be dealing with here. Like, this is going to be good. Like, good, good. We're going to be eating real good tonight. Or we will in, like, 4 months. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, February's a ways away. But, yeah, it's going to be very interesting. So, we'll keep an eye out on that, of course. But, of course, that about does it for the new song discussion, and feels like a very fitting place to leave off. Now, there's only really one news topic we have to discuss here, and, I gotta be honest, I'm not entirely sure I get this one. So, the guys in Green Day have apparently put out a quote-unquote demastered version of the landmark 1994 album Dookie. I'm looking at the website right now. It is www.dookiedemastered.com. In all of its web 1.0 GeoCities ass web design glory.
Okay. Oh, you said a 94.
Yeah. I think I can explain this a little bit better as somebody who likes collecting old, obsolete, useless junk. Okay, we know that the landscape of the music industry is release anniversary editions of your albums because people only like the old shit. We know that. We get that. This is about as far as you can take that concept. So much so that I kind of respect it for just how stupid it is.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at all the imagery here. So I'm seeing like... Oh, wait, I just scrolled all the way down to the bottom. I'm seeing, like, an actual list, and each individual song is printed onto some stupid bullshit?
Yeah, I'll explain it, because, again, I am fascinated with old, obsolete tech junk. Every song is going to be released through random drawings, which costs the price of admission for... some reason, probably to cover the manufacturing costs. And I can tell you exactly what's what here. Also, just for the record, I think these drawings are now closed, so this is just going to be a observation piece. Bear with me, people. This is going to be stupid. So, we have the opening track, Burnout, on a player piano roll.
Okay.
If you know what a player piano is... it's a player piano. You put the little thing in the plays, you know, all the keys, like we hear in like a saloon in the Western, you know, that kind of stuff. Piano not included for obvious reasons. Because I don't know how you would be able to sell a piano with it, but, you know, whatever. Having a Blast is on a floppy disk.
Oh, God, I just felt my bones wither in a dust.
Yes, preferably on a circa 2003 Dell Windows XP PC tower.
Oh, fuck.
Computer not included. Although it says here a real audio version is included, for those of you who remember Real Player.
Oh, like I do, God. Because
I'm old. As well as a text file with lyrics, and it's all listened via an EXE file. I'm sure there's no junk in there that would corrupt your computer. Chump is on a Teddy Ruxpin.
Kill it with fire!
Shoot it!
Yes. On a cassette, in a Teddy Ruxpin Satan reincarnation. D-cell batteries not included.
D's.
So you gotta buy those your own. Longview on a 15-second long doorbell.
$49.
Yeah. You install the doorbell and you get to hear a little bit of Longview chiming through your house. I'm going to assume C batteries not included. Welcome to Paradise on a Game Boy cartridge. This is what piqued my interest, seeing this pop up on here.
Good.
It is an 8-bit chiptune version of Welcome to Paradise on a Game Boy cartridge. Game Boy not included, obviously. That at least is fun.
there's at least some use to that, and you could probably, like, rip the ROM file out of it and upload it somewhere. That way we can all enjoy it.
Yeah, you retro gamer dudes better get on that shit.
Mm. Pulling teeth on a toothbrush.
I get it.
Yeah, as in, like, those late 2000s era, you know, singing along toothbrushes to convince kids to brush their fucking teeth.
You can listen to 2 minutes of Hannah Montana to prevent gingivitis.
Oh, yeah, those things.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's all powered through bone conduction technology, because that's a thing that works somehow. Finally, you can put Dookie in your mouth, as it says here. Not recommended. Three AAA batteries run this damn thing. Good lord. Basket case on a big mouth Billy Bass. Get it? Billy? Ha 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 ha. It's funny.
Fish.
It also sounds very crappy, because it's a big mouth Billy Bass. She on a hit clip.
Okay.
If you remember the days of hit clips, go to the old folks' home. You're very old. Like me. And I was 5 when these came out. Good lord. But yeah, hit clip player not included, because those are very hard to make. Sassafras Roots on an 8-track tape.
Oh, 8-track?
Yes, 8-track. For all your old 1960s car audio, whatchamacallits.
This is bullshit. When are they going to come out with 9-track?
We have When I Come Around on a wax cylinder.
Okay, how the hell does that even work?
It's a very, very old style of music from like the 1870s. I don't know how it works either. It just works. Obviously, the player is not included. You gotta get your own. Coming Clean on an X-ray record. If you don't know what that is, this is a Soviet-era style of music that was mostly through piracy. It plays at like 70 RPM, and it sounds terrible. We have Eminius Sleepus on an answering machine.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it's just a minute of vocal tracks on an answering machine. At least you get the actual answering machine, which is more like I say about the rest of this crap. Like, in the end, on a mini disc.
Uh-huh.
Although I will say, mini disc is actually fun and quirky. And if I had, you know, any of that, I would actually like to, you know, try some of that stuff out. But that's hard to come by, and they were expensive on eBay. We have FOD on a Fisher-Price record, which is a little plastic vinyl thing. Obviously, the player is not included. You're going to get about 40 seconds out of it. And lastly, All By Myself on the Conduit of Satan, known as a music box.
Oh, God.
I don't care what anyone says. These things come from the depths of hell.
I hit play on the thing right now, and it certainly sounds like it.
I have never liked music boxes. They are Satan's tools for mass hypnosis. I refuse to participate, Lucifer.
Dude, okay. Dude, calm down. Lucifer's literally in the other room. He might hear you.
Okay.
And he might fill your room with rubber ducks.
Okay, Alex being afraid of music boxes. It's not like a Blumhouse movie. In fact.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, this is as far as this whole anniversary commemoration thing can possibly go, and I don't think we're ever going to get anything like this ever again, because do you know how hard it is to actually make all this work nowadays, considering all the materials here are very much obsolete? Like, I can respect it, but, like, this is stupid. This is really stupid.
Yeah, just, how do I describe how stupid this is? When I was looking at every item, when I got to the end of the list, you want to know what the first thing I said to myself was? Hello, I'm Jory Karen. Welcome to, is it a good idea to microwave this? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me this doesn't look like a seasoned lineup for is it a good idea to microwave this?
Yeah, especially the talking fish.
Like, I'm pretty sure at least half of this stuff has been thrown into a fucking microwave.
Oh, God, yeah.
Fucking toothbrushes, so, Teddy Ruxpin, goddamn answering machines.
So, if you were one of the lucky ones to win any of this stuff, cherish it. Realize that you wasted your money on obsolete junk. And this is coming from somebody who likes to spend money on obsolete junk. If I'm saying this is too far, this is too far.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess some people like spending money on stupid shit like that. I kind of wish I could get the Game Boy cartridges, though.
I'm sure somebody's going to rip the ROM and put it up somewhere.
Yeah.
Give it time.
Give it time. So, yeah, that'll about do it for the news. And now that just leaves one last thing to touch on here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of October 18th, 2024. Starting at the top, we have the newest EP from The Armed with Everlasting Gaze, the new solo album from Jerry Cantrell with I Want Blood, there's a collab project between Benny the Butcher and 38 Special with Stabbed and Shot 2.
Okay.
We have the Japan Droids, or just Japan Droids, I suppose. I don't know why I said the. They're hanging up the, you know, curtain with this final record of theirs, Fate and Alcohol. From Tim Heidecker, we have his new album, Slipping Away. From singer Rag and Bone Man, we have their new album, What Do You Believe In? From Joe Jonas. God, you know what I just realized? His name alliteratively is fucking JoJo. You are not welcome at the JoJo family gatherings. That also applies to JoJo Siwa. But yeah, he's got a new album called Music for People Who Believe in Love. Hmm.
Okay, what about the other JoJo?
I don't know. All the other JoJos are fine, I suppose.
Okay.
But anyway, wait, who was the other JoJo? Like, the dude from Jodeci?
Well, I meant the other single JoJo. White girl. I know who it is.
Moving on. Listen, man, my brain blue screen. What do you want from me?
Leave, get out, right now.
That one.
Wait, was she the same chick that sang Be Real, It Doesn't Matter Anyway, It's Just Too Little Too Late?
Yes.
Oh, I know that. I know when Daniel Lopatin chopped and screwed it for Echo Jams Volume 1. Anyway, and then of course last, but certainly least, and I totally wasn't stalling, so I wouldn't have to bring this one up. Shawn Mendes with Sean.
Camila's never coming back to you, you fucking simp. She's got her own problems to deal with right now.
Oh, Lord in heaven. Anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Just search for Xander's Thoughts on all the platforms. You'll probably find me there posting about whatever the hell I feel like talking about. Also, the Discord and my other show. So, do that.
You're here. Mark, what about you?
At Mental Media, wherever you can find me, because I'm just doing shit. And also, my hyperpress.com. I just finished with all the first impressions of new anime season, so I don't know. Yeah, I've just I'll do shit.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel. Be sure to, you know, follow us on Twitter @SewerReso, like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SewerResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into our Discord server. You'll find the link on the site, so you can be immediately and reliably notified whenever new stuff goes up there. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll, of course, be back later on in the week with the album roundup for September 2024. It's going to be a blast. And until next time... We're not doing co-worker music discourse. It's not a thing. You couldn't make co-worker movie a thing. You're not going to trick me into thinking this is a thing.
Hey, Rob, there's some cat behind you with a webcam.
Rob, fuck!